This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Our first guest coming up is a very dear friend, a man we've known for a long time, one of the best players in the history of Michigan State, especially on the defensive end. Travis Walton is with us, and Travis has a special program going on. He wants to tell us about that, and we'll talk a little basketball, of course, as well. Travis, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Earl?
Hey, doing good. I remember when we first met the first year when you were here, I think you asked me something about the defense. Nobody had ever asked me about the defense here at Michigan State. You were the first player that ever had a little chat with me about the defensive end, because I know you were concerned. Well, you became one of the best players ever in the history of Michigan State on that defense squad. But I know that was your calling, though. You'd been a very good defensive player in high school. What did you want to do? Just put up another notch, up a level of the because you already played pretty good defense, and seemed like you just wanted to even make it even better when you were here.
Yeah, when I came here, I was behind a great group of guys. You know, Drew Nysel, Shannon Brown, Maurice Aker, and you know, I scored a little bit in high school, but I knew in order for me to get on the floor and play some minutes at Michigan State, I had to really devote myself to playing defense and try to take it to another level, because, you know, the competition and the guys we play against at Michigan State is just unmanageable.
Yes, that's true. They brought in some very good players. You were one of the good players that they brought in to help contribute. Talk about what do you want to do, what are you doing now, and then what do you want to talk about today?
Yeah, basically I'm doing some Travis Walton basketball training, skills training, and just trying to get it out to the Lansing community and just Michigan in itself, just trying to help develop young men and young girls of becoming better basketball players, and giving them some knowledge of what I learned over the years from Coach Izzo and some other great coaches I've been able to be taught by.
Yes, because your camp, I know it was stressed, because a lot of the, as you know, going to a lot of camps and being involved a lot of camps, they don't do a lot of defensive drills. I assume you're going to be focusing in a little bit on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, we do a lot. You know, I really focus on skill work. Defense is part of it, and it's amazing because I get so many questions on how to make a player a better defensive player. And, you know, I always tell them is that it wasn't my technique, because I probably wasn't the most fundamentally sound guy defensively. It was my desire to want to just stop a guy and say, you know, you're not going to score on me. So it's a lot of things we teach in my training. It's a lot of motivation and just how to fight through adversity and, you know, how to push yourself to that next level and also develop the skill work of basketball.
Yes, that's one key. Like you said, that's a very big point, developing in fighting through adversity, because there is a lot of adversity in the game. And I know a lot of people don't seem to focus on that, or the fans, they just don't seem to realize how much adversity there is in a game and how much you have to learn to fight through it.
Yeah, it's just tough, you know, because most people, we see the good things, and when something bad happens, we don't know how to fight through it. So it's the adversity that we're trying to get through that, you know, I think creates the better basketball player. Not when everything is going good, anybody can be a good basketball player or good at anything at that. Mm-hmm. But when things start to get tough, that really shows the character of the person.
Oh, so true. When does your basketball camp start, and how long will it be going?
Well, I actually have a couple things going on. Mm-hmm. I have training going on where I do skills training, and that's on Tuesday and Thursday at AIM High from 4:30 to 6 o'clock. And then I also have a couple camps. I have a camp December 29th for any Grand Rapids listeners, December 29th at MVP Fieldhouse. And then I have a camp here in Lansing at AIM High, January 3rd from second grade to all the way up to high school. And you can contact AIM High and get some information on that, or you can contact me through email at TravisWaltonTraining@yahoo.com.
Okay, so you're going to be very busy in the month of December and January, huh?
Yeah, I'm a little busy. You know, I don't think I'm going overseas. I think I'm going to just really attack this and kind of go full-fledged into training. And so hopefully I'm looking to grow and then get a lot of Spartans and a lot of just basketball lovers or people that just want to improve in basketball.
How much did going overseas and playing overseas help you, and how did that help you develop some other parts of your game?
Yeah, you know, going overseas, it just taught me that you really have to love the game. You know, you go so far overseas, and if you don't love basketball, it's not good to go over there. But also, it helped me develop just to see it from a different game. You know, when you learn from Coach Izzo, you learn a certain way. And going over to Europe is kind of just a different ball game, and you know, you learn different skills because it's more of a skill set over there, and you're a professional, so you're playing against really good players.
Yeah. Now, when you look at Tom's team today, how do you see that team doing, and how do you see this particular Spartan team effective, I guess, offensively and defensively?
You know, we got a really young team. You know, we got a young team, but we got a kind of an experienced team in the same sentence. You know, now we got two freshmen starting with Gary and Denzel, who was definitely above years of normal freshmen. But, you know, I think we're going to take a couple bruises, but we're still developing our leadership. I think we got a really good team. I think by the time that Big Ten's time starts, we get a couple more wins up under our belt, we can be really good. And, you know, like they say, the Spartans come out in March. So, you know, hopefully March we can be really, really good and we can make some noise.
Yes, we know that the Big Ten season starts at the end of December here. It starting a little bit earlier. I know it started, what, more so in January when you were playing. So how do you think this has helped the Spartans and other teams in the Big Ten with this, you know, a more compact season starting at the end of December?
Yeah, I think it's gonna help because we got a couple of early games. And let me say that this Big Ten schedule is probably one of the best has been in a long, long time, you know, as far as from top to bottom, man. It's going to be tough for us, but I think we built for it. You know, we got the right coach, and I think we got some right players in piece that's been through a little bit of adversity and can help each other build. We just got to get some leadership, continue to build our leadership as a team, man, and get better.
Yes, That's one of the things every team, you know, strives to get better as there. I know you're a little disappointed because you tried to win that national championship. You just couldn't get there, which is a lot of teams. And that's a little tricky, trying to win a national championship, isn't it? Because you're going to face so many teams that are good and so many teams do things differently.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I say in college basketball, you have a couple of different levels. You got some teams that just want to do well in preseason because they get a conference schedule that's tough. Then you got some teams that expect to do well in preseason and carry on to their conference play and do average. Then you got some teams that expect to do good in preseason and expect to do really good in conference, but then they come to tournament and they be average. Then you get us, and we expect to be good in preseason, conference, and then come to the tournament and expect to win it. You know, so you got different levels of teams, and fortunate for us is that we always in the conversation of the national championship talk.
Yes,
and
that's true.
And if we don't make it to a Final Four, it's kind of a disappointing season.
Yes, is that a little bit tough because, like you say, you're always in the national championship talk when teams talk about you. Is that added pressure, you think, for the team? How do you handle that with all that people expecting and wanting you to win a national championship and expecting you to win a national championship?
Yeah, I think that's the expectations when you come to Michigan State. You know, that's just our tradition. Our tradition is great. So before you even come here, when you're in high school and you watch in Michigan State, you hear the commentators always talk about how great this tradition is, how the teams before you was doing so well and how they started this history of just greatness. So when you come here and you get recruited by Michigan State, you've done your job of getting better as a player. Now when you get here, now you got to hold up to the expectations of the fans and the school about greatness. So I don't think it's too much pressure to say, hey, we got to get to a Final Four and make it to a national championship because you was built for this. This is why you're here. If you wasn't built for this, you wouldn't be at Michigan State.
Yes, sir. Now, I went and seen a high school game last night. I think you know the coach, Desmond Ferguson, his first year coach in the high school. He won his game as a first year head coach, and I was very impressed with he really had his team playing some great defense. They beat Williamston. Lansing Everett beat Williamston last night. I was highly impressed with his style, and that's all when we talked all during the week, that's all he talked about was defense and trying to make this team better, and boy, it really seems like his guys have bought in the defense. Is that something that you have to get kids to buy into playing hard, tough defense?
Yeah, I can't. Dad is teaching him to play defense. He's a scorer.
Yep.
That's great. But I think every coach, if your foundation is not built around defense, then they're not talking too much championships in their conversation. Mm-hmm. I think if you want to talk about championships, you have to talk about building your foundation. That has to be defense. It starts on defense. You know, you can get a lot of people that can score the basketball that only want to score the basketball, but if you can't get nobody to play defense, you're not going to win, or you're not going to win the games that matter.
Yeah,
so, you know, I think Dez is doing a great job of, you know, starting off with defense first.
Is that tough, getting kids in high school to play tough defense? I mean, you did it, but I see so many games that I just don't see that many kids are really, putting forth that kind of effort to play good defense.
Yeah, you know, because everybody want to highlight. You know, who wanted to be known as a defender? You know, I didn't at first. I didn't want to be known as a defender, but I said, hey, I can take it to another level and really get some notoriety from it. But most kids do not look at it in that sentence, so they want to say, how can I be the best scorer?
Yeah.
You know, but it can't be too many scorers on the team. I always tell the kids, it can't be too many. Somebody got to take the sacrifice and say, I'm going to be the defender. And guess what? If you do sacrifice and say, I'm going to be the best defender to ever play on this team or come from this high school, you know, that was my thought. I'm going to be the best defender to ever come from Michigan State. And that was my goal. I wanted to be Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. And those type of things. So if you strive for them, the door for greatness is still open. It may not be how you see it, but it's the same thing. You know, you're going to get a lot of notoriety from being good. And a lot of kids just don't want to focus on defense. They want to look at the highlights of trying to score the most points and also have their parents and other people in their ear saying, man, you got to go out there and score 20 points. Well, really, you don't have to. You just got to go out there and win the game. And then winning the game comes with 20 points, or winning the game comes with 5 points, but you stopped a big-time score, you done your job.
Okay. Hey, Travis, tell us one more time where people can, if they want to get involved with your camps, how they can go about doing it.
Yeah, you can go send me an email at TravisWaltonTraining@yahoo.com or contact Aim High on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 4:30 to 6 o'clock. You can just come up and show up with some basketball shoes and ready to learn. January 3rd, I have a camp in Lansing, Michigan at Aim High. You can come and contact. You can contact Aim High again, or you can just show up January 3rd at 8 o'clock in the morning and sign up. Also, for any Grand Rapids listeners, if you want to sign up for the MVP at MVP Fieldhouse, December 29th, I have a camp there. And the same thing, sign up at 8 o'clock in the morning. Or send me an email to TravisWaltonTraining@yahoo.com.
Okay. Hey, Travis, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and we'll get together and talk some more.
Earl, thank you. Appreciate all the support also. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, bye-bye. All right. And that's Travis Walton and Travis Walton Training right here on AM 870 WKAR. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870.
Both sides fire metaphors at the fiscal cliff. President Obama said Republicans offer nothing but a lump of coal. Speaker John Boehner said the president's offer comes from La La Land. I'm Neil Conan. Political junkie Ken Rudin returns, plus Congressman Jason Chaffetz, Republican from Utah, as we continue conversations on the fiscal cliff. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. This is Scott Pohl with a weather forecast. A high today in the upper 30s and mostly sunny. Partly cloudy with a low of 25 overnight. Thursday will be partly sunny, the high tomorrow 41. And a little warmer still Friday, cloudy with a good chance of rain and a high of 45.
and give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Hey, we will have tickets to give away for MSU basketball, a game coming up on Saturday, so give us a call at area code 517-884-4783. That's 517-884-4783 for the Michigan State Loyola game coming up on Saturday. Hey, give us a call. Now we're going to talk NFL, the National Football League, with our good friend, writer Jared Bell from USA Today. Jared, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, my Spartan. How's everything, Earl?
Hey, doing pretty good myself, too. And just wondering, when I called, just say, this is a weird football season, isn't it? I mean, we got Houston and Atlanta at the top. I mean,
right.
And then I was
replacement
wondering,
refs.
Yeah,
just
replacement refs. Yep.
Yeah, and then the tragedy in Kansas City. Just
yes.
Kinda, you know, you just shake your head and you feel for everybody involved, but you just wonder, why something has to come to that.
Yes,
and
it is.
We've had other situations. I mean, even like in the off season with Junior Seau and other tragedies with guys that have played the sport. And, it's just, like I said, it kind of casts a pall over everything. Puts a lot of things in perspective, too.
Yes, and, I don't know if you saw Real Sports this week, how they talked about how the NCAA isn't doing enough on the concussions. High schools and lower are having good programs. They're doing something about it in the NFL. But colleges are sorely lacking, and that's disappointing to hear.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't seen that, but I'll look for that report. That's interesting to hear, because so much that happens in the NFL – the players obviously come from the college level, and even when you start, that's one of the things that when I was talking to somebody about the NFL's position with the legal cases, they said that, it's going to be really tough to prove that whatever concussion problems you've had really originated in the NFL. It could be a carryover from the college level or like you said, even high school or wherever in your life. So I think when you start talking, you get lawyers talking and defending lawsuits and stuff, that's something that really I think is going to be paramount to what happens in the courtroom, trying to navigate through that. One thing I do know is that when players come to the NFL now, and this is something that's probably – come about in the past, though definitely within the past decade, but maybe even within the last 4 or 5 years now, where they get the baseline tests. So each player that comes into the league has a test, an analysis of for brain injuries and kind of where they stand, if you will, and over time they can compare that. Years ago they had nothing like that.
Yeah. What about Who would you say is probably the most surprising team as being the worst team in the league this year? I know we know Philadelphia's bad. Would you say that's the worst team, or is anyone else surprise you?
Well, the Jets sure got a lot of hype.
Yeah.
I don't know if it surprises you that they're not like a playoff team, but, with all the attention that they got, and, they went to the championship game a couple times with Mark Sanchez at quarterback. Maybe you expected more out of the Jets. The Lions rank up there too as a team that you can say, okay, weren't they supposed to be a little bit better than this?
Mm-hmm.
And the Saints, I don't know if we expected them
to
really be as dominant as they've been because of everything that happened in the off season, which we didn't mention when we were just talking about all the crazy stuff this year. The Saints in about it, so
that's
I can't even forget that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All the spats with Roger Goodell, all that. Anyway, but I think we all wanted to see how the Saints were going to respond to it, and they put up a good fight here a few weeks ago over the second half of the season, but the way they lost that game last week in Atlanta just pretty much shut the door on any miracle dash to the playoffs for them.
Okay, got a caller for the question for you, Todd. Todd, you got a quick question for Jared?
Yep, two quick ones. I just wonder, obviously everybody's noticing the season that Peyton Manning is having, coming back from his next injury, might be MVP. But I wonder if your guys would comment really on the exceptional season of Adrian Peterson. I mean, in a way, obviously a neck injury is extremely serious, but the fact that this kid, well, he's not a kid, is having the season he's having less than a year after literally destroying his knee. I understand his team hasn't having this success, but really, how remarkable do you view the season that Adrian Peterson's had? I think it's maybe one of the greatest seasons in the past 20 years. And that,
Go ahead and answer that one.
Todd, I'm glad you asked that question because we're really vibing because I'm thinking of writing that as a column here sometime in the next, you know, when I can get a chance here, sometime in December, because you'll have the voting and stuff going on, and of course I wouldn't want to influence the voting. But, you know, and when I say the voting, it's for the Comeback Player of the Year Award, you know, the MVP, the Defensive Player, you know, all those awards. And my position on it is that it's tougher to come back from what Adrian Peterson has come back from than it is for Peyton Manning. And that's like no kind of knock on Peyton because, you know, you didn't know if he was going to be able to do what he's done. And, you know, it was a long time for him to get his arm strength back. And he'll probably tell you it may never get to be as strong as it was. So remarkable for Peyton. But I agree with you, Todd. This thing with Adrian Peterson is something we have not seen before. We've seen guys come back, but we have not seen guys come back at this level. I went and visited with Adrian Peterson like at the end of training camp. So it was, I think they had just finished their last preseason. I think they had one last preseason game to go or something like that. It was in that week in August. And, you know, he kept telling me, I don't want to just come back. I want to be better than ever, better than I was. Like, okay, man. I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah. Good, you're coming back, man. Good. And my goodness, look at him. And the team has done better than people thought. You know, Earl, you were talking about, you know, surprises a minute ago, teams that didn't do as well. I think the Vikings surprised us. They're not going to the playoffs. Well, probably won't be going to the playoffs, but I think this season has been pretty impressive. And if Percy Harvin didn't get hurt to miss, like, what, three games, who knows?
Yeah, because that's right. It could be. What's happened? What's made Houston and Atlanta so good?
Well, you know, Houston, their defense was good last year with Wade Phillips. I mean, you go back to 2 years ago, and they had, like, if not the worst-ranked defense, it was like, you know, 30th, 31st, something like that. And then Wade Phillips came in, and in 1 year, you know, he had a top-five defense. So he's got his thing going. He knows how to use people, and they've done that with injuries and all that, you know, dealing with injuries and stuff like they did last year. They got to the playoffs with a third-string quarterback. So I think the thing with them is that they are a balanced team, right? Mm-hmm. And they have grown into a pretty good team. The most impressive win for them, to me, was when they went to Chicago and won that game. Now, the Bears' offense is, you know, it's not a juggernaut by any means, but they've got weapons that can hurt you, and they can win a game, obviously. They win a lot of games. And then when they're at home and their defense was playing so well, that was as impressive of a win that I've seen this year, I think, for Houston to do that. Now, they've got to go to New England on Monday night. So let's see if they can do anything like that. The Patriots' offense, quiet as it's kept, with all the crazy stuff that Earl was talking about earlier that's happened this season, you look up and the Patriots' offense is humming, okay?
Yes, it is.
And humming to the point where they could break the record that they set a few years ago for most points in a season. And they've gotten, like, no attention for it just because all the other stuff that's happened. So they're on point. And they've done it with – the thing that's been impressive is that they've done it with, the, you know, Gronkowski's out now and Hernandez was out for several weeks, so they haven't had a situation where they've had both of those tight ends together like they did last year. That was so impressive. And then they've got Stephen Ridley now as a, you know, 1,000-yard back, and that was something they needed to shore up with their offense. So, yeah, New England has been pretty impressive. But like I say, it's been so quiet because of all the other stuff going on that's going on in the league.
Okay. Hey, Jared, I know you got to go. I want to thank you for joining me. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and we'll give you a call real soon and talk a little bit more NFL.
Let's do it, Earl. I appreciate your time, man.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And that's Jared Bell from USA Today talking National Football League on Sports Talk 870. The time is 1:30. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870, WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Now, we also wanted to tell you about some things that happened last night. I attended the first high school basketball game of the season. There were several games last night, but I went to the Lansing-Everett-Williamston game. As Desmond Ferguson, as you heard him on the program the other day, a little bit nervous, was anxious to see how his team will respond in the first game. And I must admit, as someone who is very partial to defense, I like to watch that defensive side and players play the defensive side. I was very impressed at how well Desmond had Lansing Everett playing solid defense in their very first game. I mean, he's emphasized that all during his training camp, and he's got all the players. It seemed like they've all bought in to playing a good, strong defense. So I was very impressed watching Lansing Everett and play their game, and they're a very good defensive team. We don't know how many games they're going to win, of course, but they have a start at the defensive end, and boy, if they keep going like that, they're going to be a very strong team, a contender, possibly in the CAAC division, so in the blue division there. So let's hope that they'll continue to on winning, but they're certainly off to a very good start. Desmond Ferguson had the team really humming, and so that was, I must admit, I was a little bit surprised, because in high school kids, you know, it's hard to get high school kids to buy into playing good defense. Everybody wants to score. Everybody wants to be a scorer, that's for sure. And that's a problem sometime in high school. You have so many kids, and all the parents want them to score. The score was of the game was 65-55, Lansing Everett over Williamston. And it was an impressive game, impressive scoring. I mean, they really checked guys from the beginning of the game up until the end of the game. They never stopped defending, and it paid off for them. It paid off as they got a big win last night. So I know I was impressed with it. If you were out there, you had to be impressed with Lansing Everett. They're just a good, solid team that plays great defense. And if you like defensive play, then you'll like them. But if you don't like defensive play, I assume you probably would be going somewhere else. But if you like good defense and like to watch good defense, that's a team you'll want to watch, because they certainly lock up the other team. Hey, give us a call at Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We've got Michigan State playing tonight, playing Arkansas Pine Bluff. So that should be a good game, a good tune-up, as Coach Fife said the other day. Good tune-up for the Michigan State. They don't know much about Arkansas Pine Bluff, but they're certainly going to find out tonight. That's for sure. They probably watched some film on them, and then they get to line up against Arkansas Pine Bluff coming up tonight shortly. So that's an 8 o'clock tip-off. So if you want to go to the game, there should be tickets available, I'm pretty sure. So, go and get ready if you go to watch Michigan State and Arkansas Pine Bluff. Hey, if you be giving away tickets to Saturday's game against Loyola of Chicago, give us a call at 884-4783, area code 517-884-4783, for your chance to win tickets to the Michigan State Loyola of Chicago game coming up on Saturday. So give us a call, talk more sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, let's go over to Lions and chat with Victor. Victor, how you doing?
Are you getting ready for Christmas?
Not yet.
You need to start.
Yeah, I know.
You make sure all the lights on your Christmas tree are bright enough to blind the blind man, and make sure you put an angel on top of the tree. Okay,
I'll do that, buddy.
Do you think the Tigers are going to make any more moves like in the offseason?
They'll probably make a couple small ones. I know they want to re-sign Anamel Sanchez, but he's being courted by several teams, so they're sort of waiting to see if that if they can get him on board. But they're hoping that he doesn't get offered a max deal. If he gets offered a max deal, he'll probably take it, which would mean he'd be making around an $85 million contract for 5 years, something like that. And they don't want to pay him max deal money.
I don't think he's worth it, to be honest with you. But I think. You know, because I think they've got enough pitching, like, you know, that somebody could take his place. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be Dotel or,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? I think because their starting pitching is pretty solid.
Yeah, it'll be more solid with him if they sign, because that's one thing you always hear. You never can have too much pitching. You never just have enough pitching, in all honesty. That's what the so-called experts always tell you, that you can never have enough pitching, and usually they're right. You can never really have enough pitching.
But what they need to do, like, I don't know, there's still some controversy about Johnny Peralta.
Oh,
you know, I don't know if they signed him or whether they're, you know, they're thinking about maybe trading him or something. I don't know. But they need to shore up their middle infield, I think.
Yeah, they're definitely working on that, hopefully. We haven't heard about them making any moves yet, but I know that's one area that they're trying to do better in and get that better. So I'm probably sure we'll hear something in the next few days here at the winter meetings are going on.
Well, you know, the thing is, the Tigers are usually pretty quiet about what they do, and, you know, obviously, you know, it's almost like surprise attack, because, you know, they usually don't really talk about what they do as far as moves until closer to spring training.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think it was a good pickup to pick up Torrey Hunter. I think that was a good move, you know, because he's going to bring a solid player, you know, to the outfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm glad. I hope they keep Quentin Berry. I mean, because I think I like him. I like him and Jackson.
I think he is going to keep him. I think they will.
Yeah, because they need more speed.
No doubt about that.
You know, they really do. I mean, I mean, power is good, but, you know, you gotta have people, like, you know, a solo home runs don't get it. You know,
right.
You need to get people on base to hit, like, two or three run homers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, solid home run might win a game if you got, like, a good starter, you know, but you need that two and three run home run, and they need to steal more bases.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
It'll be an interesting season. When does Michigan State play again? Do they play? They don't play till Saturday?
They play tonight, and then they play Saturday.
Okay, where do they play tonight?
Arkansas Pine Bluff.
And do you know what time that game starts?
8:00.
All right. Well, listen, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and I really do. I want to wish you and everybody else in the listening audience nothing but the merriest of Christmases and a happy new year.
Hey, thank you, Victor, and we wish the same to you, my friend. Okay, thank you. And give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, we want you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, as many of you know by now, a big surprise to the Big Ten. Brett Bielema is leaving Wisconsin, going to Arkansas. He got $3.6 million for the move. So that might mean whoever's the next Wisconsin coach, he's going to get probably a pretty nice pay raise to start coaching at that level. And if he can do the job that Bielema did at Wisconsin, boy, he'll be in for an even bigger payday. So that's what happens when one guy leaves it who's considered a better coach. You know, mostly he's leaving for another job and a chance to better himself. The time, 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break, right here on AM 870 WKAR.
U.S. intelligence reports troubling movement at Syrian chemical weapons sites. Monday, President Obama issued a stern warning to the Assad regime.
The use of chemical weapons is and would be totally unacceptable.
I'm Neil Conan. What Syria has, where they put it, and what it's capable of. Chemical weapons in Syria, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The high today, 37 degrees with mostly sunny skies. Partly cloudy and a low in the mid-20s expected overnight. Thursday, the high will be 41 and it'll be partly sunny tomorrow. For Friday, cloudy with a good chance of rain. The high will be in the mid-40s. I'm Scott Pohl.
and give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And let's talk a little bit about Brett Bielema, who's leaving Wisconsin to go to Arkansas. Certainly, he's in line for a big payday from Arkansas. And I had an email caller ask, what does that say about the Big Ten? Well, other than, you know, we know that, Urban Meyer is going to do well at Ohio State. Their program that they have so many resources at Ohio State that puts Ohio State ahead of just about everybody in the Big Ten. And Wisconsin has done a good job. They don't make the money that Ohio State does, but Urban Meyer is going to get a big payday, and he's in line to help that out. Now, maybe, I don't know, but maybe this will help the other schools in the Big Ten up their scales and up their ante for football and for the football coaches, because football is the stirs the drink. That's what football does. You need to have a good, successful football program, and that will be the leader of your program and enhance all the other programs in your university and in your school. So we'll have to watch that and see if some of the other schools start to upping their head coach makes. And then, of course, we got to watch and see how many what are the pay scale basically for the assistant coaches. Some of the assistant coaches, as we know here, Pat Narduzzi got a very big raise as an assistant. And in some schools, they're starting to give assistants a better pay, in those areas. So we're seeing that, they're getting more money into the program, and they're bringing more money into the program, and we'll have to see if that keeps on growing. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Well, we know I had a chance to do an interview recently with Denzel Valentine, and Denzel told me about his life here in college and what college basketball means to him. So let's hear from Denzel Valentine, a freshman here at Michigan State. The advantage for you being a coach's son and playing in college now, or how do you look at that?
I think it's an advantage, because my dad, he's been there through all these situations. So, he just lets me know his experience and what he went through in colleges. And, I kind of build off that. And, he's taught me everything he's known. So, I know a lot of things about the game and the history. So I think it's an advantage.
Now, as you know, everything is so different today. I mean, when he was going to school and such, we didn't have all the social media and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So how have you had to adjust get along, I guess, in this new era?
It just comes along. I really don't think I had to adjust or anything. I think it's just out in front of me. I didn't live in the 80s, so I wouldn't know what he did, on his off time or, after practice and stuff. But, as far as basketball, it's somewhat similar, but it's kind of different, but somewhat similar.
Now, I was talking with Derek and asking him about the chemistry on the team. How do you see the chemistry overall on the team? He talked about the chemistry and camaraderie, how that's different. Y'all gotta build on. But how do you look at it as having chemistry on the team, especially being a first year player?
I think our chemistry is really good. Everybody gets along with each other. It's no fights or anything. People push each other in practice. It's competitive. We just gotta. You're not going to play your best game, at this time of the season. I've learned that throughout my years, not even just me playing, watching teams, NBA teams, college teams. They build off, throughout the year. And with this chemistry that we had, and if we keep building, I think we have a good chance of being good. So, yeah, we have chemistry.
What's been the biggest adjustment for you going to the college game?
Just to settle down and just let the game come to me. In high school, I was bigger than everybody, and sometimes I could get away with, doing stuff like making a pass or, bullying people when I go to the basket or, shooting a fadeaway or anything like that. But, you just got to play solid, at this level and let things come to you, really.
Yes, now. when you're playing and such, how is your height still helping you as an advantage? 6'5" in college as opposed to 6'5" in high school.
Yeah, you know, 6'5" in high school, you know, it's centers in high school, 6'5". So, you know, and I was like a, you know, big man. I was like the biggest, you know, all around the court. But, you know, being 6'5" at a guard, the college position, you know, gives you a height advantage. So, you know, just going to the rack, you know, I can explode other people using my length. Or you know, when I'm out at the top, I can, you know, back people down and kind of like Magic used to do, you know, when he used to bring the ball up the court and just use my size when I'm making those passes and stuff.
What about when you do that and you've got the height, you use your height as an advantage? Is there any disadvantage you think in seeing that? You know, because you're such a good passer. I've always told everybody, you know, you've got such great court vision. Is that always good, or knowing where to pass and when to pass it, or is that something that you had to even work on even more so?
Yeah, you know, I've had to work on it, you know, because at this level, you know, people are more athletic. You know, people are bigger and they're stronger. So the same passes that I did in high school, you know, all of them will work on this level because, you know, just guys are just better. But, you know, it's just something that I'm going to have to get better, you know, as the games grow. And I think I'll be able to do that.
I know with the Big Ten starting soon at the end of the month, how are you going to think you're going to have to adjust to that? I know that's going to be different because every team scouts every team so much better once you get to conference play.
Yeah, no, just play solid, you know. Teams are going to be good and people are going to know our stuff and we're going to know their stuff. So just be solid, I think, is the best word for that.
Okay, thank you. And that's Denzel Valentine talking sports and talking basketball with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. So to continue that, Denzel's development, and as I was telling you about Lansing Everett, their development, they have the potential to be a very good basketball team in the area. We talked about some of the NFL and some of the NFL teams, and that's... Yeah, so let's bring in Aaron over here. Aaron, and what do you have, let's say, you know, you heard us talking about all going on in the NFL. You know, Jared Bell mentioned how he's, the Lions are a disappointment. How do you view the Lions, and how do you view what the Lions have done?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's obviously been a disappointing season. I don't think anybody really expected them to be at the current record that they're at, frankly, after the season they had last year. You know what? Last year they got a lot of big breaks. I don't think they had as many injuries last year. This year their offense just has been dismantled in injuries. And then, you know, before the season even started, they had off-season issues galore that they had to deal with. You know, so they've had injuries on the defensive side, on the offensive side. You put all that in one big basket and, you know, things aren't just going to go your way. You know, there were certain, you know, each team has had their calls not go their way. They've had moments this year where they could have won. Was it first, the overtime, you know, the huge comeback that they lost against on the away game, you know, the Thanksgiving game. That they had multiple times to win that game. Out of all people, you would expect Hansen to kick a game-winning field goal. You know, so, and then, you know, last week versus the Colts, that was just, you know, that was just icing on the cake, really. So, well, I guess it's not really a cake in their instance, but you know, it's been a disappointing season. Obviously, they're not going to make the playoffs unless some miracle happens. You know. At this point, they just keep playing for pride and continue to work hard and come back next year expecting to make the playoffs. The thing is, though, that now that they've made the playoffs, people are expecting them to make the playoffs on a sort of yearly basis. Some people are thinking that, oh, now they're back to the old Detroit Lions again. Here we go again. Well, no, I don't think it is, because with any sort of change in culture and environment, you're going to have obstacles you're going to have to get over. So I view this season as an obstacle that they're going to have to get over, and they're going to have to pick themselves back up, dust their boots off, and get ready to rock and roll next season. So I expect them to have a pretty decent draft, pretty good draft, actually. I have no idea who's coming out in the draft, but a little early for that. But, you know, so I expect them to be competitive each year and from here on out. This season could easily be, what are they, 4-8? Yeah. It could easily be 8-4. So, I mean, it's kind of reminiscent of the Michigan State football team a little bit. You know, a lot of close losses, but at the same time, you know, they can learn from it, and hopefully everyone works hard and comes in the offseason and does what they're supposed to and get ready for next season.
Yes, because like you say, they've lost a lot of close games, and I know they want to turn that around and win all those close games. And, like, they have to do a little bit more, just a little bit extra, maybe in closing out in that couple of series. If you're down by three, you gotta play better defense, or if you're ahead by three, you have to be able to run the ball effectively. So those are two areas that they've got to improve in end of the game decisions, and that's what they got to do. You got to run the ball better, or, you know, if you're coming back, you got to throw it a little bit better near the end. So that's some of the challenges that the Detroit Lions face. I was going to say one other thing, and it slipped my mind, so I won't do that, but you know, the Detroit Lions are, you know, we thought they were going to be a little bit better than they were this year. They still turned out being okay. Some people predicted them, like our friend Drew Sharp, he thought they would be 8-8 or 7-8-9 or 8-7 and 1, something like that, or maybe 7-9, something like that. It looks like they could still be a 500 club. Of course, they got to win out, but when you look at the schedule, it's awful hard seeing the Lions winning out with the rest of the schedule that they have of these games, do they?
Yeah, I mean, I think they had one of the toughest schedules remaining when they first played, I believe. I forget who they played before Thanksgiving, but yeah, they had one of the toughest remaining schedules, but you know, and they still do, so you know, the fact that they're playing great competition, I think, bodes well for them in the coming season. I mean, because if you think about it, at this point, even if they won out, the odds of them making the playoffs are extremely, extremely slim. So even if you're playing teams that weren't that good and you got a W, I don't see how that benefits them at that point anyway. So if you're playing tougher teams, it really, you know, they have, like I said, they have a lot of injuries, and they're still keeping up. They're still, you know, the scores are still close. They're close on these games. So if you can play tough competition, you know, even if you don't win them, granted, that's going to help their draft status. But if you're playing cup, you know, tough competition when, you know, they're having the season they are, and you're staying close in these games, I mean, that shows that they can stay competitive even with some of the obstacles they've had, so, which is great. So, you know, if they were playing lesser teams that they're just going to maybe possibly not really make a close game out of it, you know, I guess, you know, I wouldn't really see that as helping them in any sort of way.
Yes. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us. We got a few minutes left. If you want to give us a call, give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. If you want a chance to win tickets to a Michigan State basketball game, give us a call at area code 517-884-4783. 517-884-4783. You can win tickets to Saturday's game against the Loyola of Chicago. Once again, 517-884-4783. Call us up. Talk sports with us, and more importantly, to give yourself a chance to win tickets right here on AM 870 WKAR. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock on AM 870. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. So hopefully we're getting more calls today than we got yesterday, Aaron, for the basketball tickets. So it seems always so we're doing better. So that's good. So hopefully, you know, you'll do better during the rest of the season. If you want to win some tickets, we got tickets here for you to win. So, hey, give us a call. Put your name in the hat, and you have a chance to win the tickets. That's for sure. Hey, call us up and talk sports with us. Hopefully you get out and see. I know I was impressed. That might not impress you that you want to get out and see Lansing Everett play basketball, especially if you're not if you don't like good defense, or you prefer a better offense than a better and better defense, I would assume most of you will be going to games where your team or your local high school team just puts up a lot of points. And you know, if you like that, that's fine. I'm just the other way, basically. So if your high school team puts up a lot of points, you probably should get out there and support them. Hard to support a team when they don't play strong defense in high school. But then again, maybe you shouldn't expect a team to play strong defense in high school. Most of the teams in high school kids are probably pretty just average players. You don't have a ton of good high school players that are committed to playing good defense. So if your team is just a decent team, an average team, then you can see some pretty good high school, some entertainment some entertaining basketball, that's for sure. The one thing I have to tell you, that Aaron, one thing that surprises me in high school still, all the belly aching that goes along with officiating. Maybe you can help me with this, Aaron. Why do people think that officials have to be perfect and do the game at such a high level when it's only a high school game? I mean, and a lot of the high school officials are still learning the game and still trying to learn how to officiate. So how do you deal with that?
Well, from a coach or maybe a player standpoint, that's part of the game. You just if a bad call happens, you if it's something that maybe you can talk to the ref about, sure, but it's done and over with. They don't have, from what I understand, they don't have a replay system. So, you know what, you figure out other ways to win. I mean, That's kind of the whole point of high school sports, is it's sort of a learning experience and it gets you ready for real life. I guess what? You're going to have obstacles in real life that aren't going to go your way, and you're going to have to learn to adapt and adjust to them. So, but from a, maybe from a parent standpoint, well, we all know the answer to this one. They're the ones putting the time in their child to have them go to practice and to these games and be on the team. So, they got to have everything perfect and everything right. And if something goes wrong, well, then why should they be there? I'm not saying that's probably a very small percentage anyway, but, you're right. I mean, these refs I don't know. I don't think they get paid a lot. If some of them probably don't even get paid. I don't know if it's a union or anything like that. But, the reality is a lot of them are young and still learning the game. It's a high fast paced game. Mistakes are going to happen. If you want perfect results, get a robot, but someone's got to program that robot, which is going to be a human, so it's probably not going to be perfect anyway. Mistakes are going to happen. You have to deal with them. Sometimes I'm sure we've all read stories of people overreacting over a call. It's high school sports. If you're going to get that upset over high school sports, you better check what your priorities are in life.
Well, I think a lot of people should start checking their priorities.
Were there some instances last night?
No, there weren't any instances last night. I just heard coaches complaining about some calls, but that's always, you're always going to have coaches complaining about some of the calls that are made. And that just goes on every time there's a game somewhere in high school ball. You're going to hear at least coaches, if not parents as well, zooming in and just criticizing their kids or a kid that calls that are for or against their youngster. That happens all the time in high school sports. So hopefully the parents will get used to it and will adapt to it, and maybe even adjust making a call or just calling out a ref and criticizing them, because they're still trying to learn the game. As I said earlier, they're doing the best job they can, and hopefully if you'll go and support a high school game and support the officials as well. Hey, we want to thank you for listening and thank you for calling. We invite you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. Make sure you have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. We want you to come back and join us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.